Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Abstract Illusions Radio with host Jennifer Hillman. The show explores and reveals the human potential through creativity. So enjoy the show to create a life you love.
Hello everyone, this is Jennifer Hillman and we had such a wonderful conversation that Renaissance Man Jason Hopdick is back on with me. We decided to continue the conversation at least for another half an hour, and hopefully we'll be doing a series of conversations on here to really open up the new possibilities for humanity in a really positive, positive way. Jason has been doing so much work. He is currently in tarot trance, and we all had a little bit of a scare, and he contacted through Facebook saying, I just found out I'm okay, and we're very glad he is, and we send lots of love and good thoughts to France, all of France, for what's going on right now. But it's all part of the process, correct, Jason?
Yeah, this is very much part of the process.
So what were your first thoughts when you heard about the attacks?
Honestly, we've seen this story so many times. I couldn't help but feel like that this is just another collective conscious of fear supposed people with the illusion of control trying to control more because of the fact that we aren't in control. There's only one thing we control. It's how we choose to respond to anything in life or how we choose to react. And the more that we react to something, the more that we perpetuate the cycle. And the more that we respond to something, the more that we can change. And one is unconscious reaction. It comes from all of your past, your memories. And one is conscious because you have to take a moment and actually think, use your brain and really think about and assess things and be able to give an intelligent response.
Which is more towards love and unity versus, I mean, don't you feel like this is trying to create separation because of the fear?
Of course. This is war tactics. This is divide and conquer. If you can divide people, you can get people to fight about very superficial things like colors of skins and things people think and, religious beliefs and ideologies. And if you can create an enemy, then while people are fighting with each other over things that actually don't even really make a person who they really are, like deep inside the deep recesses of the being of humanity, if you can get people to focus on all these things, then actually you have the advantage because while everybody is distracted and fighting, you can do whatever you want at that moment. So, and we've seen this through history so many times. We've seen this story play out so many times. So I feel like this is just, it's a collective cleansing. It's a time that we're finally waking up from an ancient pattern that we've been playing out for a very long time.
And it is interesting that a lot of people are, that I've talked to, maybe even you as well, is we have this other opportunity of really uniting the world towards peace, love, happiness. back in 2001 with 9/11, and we blew it. We didn't hold on to that. We allowed the game to go in a different direction. So this really is, and I have to commend, the people of France are amazing on what they're doing. The people,
yeah.
Not necessarily the police or the military about this, but the people themselves are really uniting. I saw a man today that put a video out and basically say, you cannot have my hate. I'm going to live every day to the fullest. I'm going to raise my son to the best of my ability. You've taken my wife, the love of my life, but you're not going to take anything else because I'm living my life to the fullest. And I thought that was really brave and the right way, not that there's a right or wrong, but that was just a great message to put out there.
I agree. I saw that message as well. And you know what? This is the resilience of France. And I think
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people who haven't studied history, who don't understand the past, they don't understand that France was built off of war and was built off of
mm-hmm.
fear, and that this is not a new thing for French people. The older generations, they've seen horrific things here, and French people in general, they're not going to listen to the status quo. They never have. That's why this is why France is an amazing country, because France, they're their own people. They have their own way. They unite on the differences. It's a very diverse place. When you walk around Paris, you see so many different people, just like New York City, but it's different here. It's more communal. It's more of a community experience. You can walk down the street and you can sit down and have a glass of wine with someone right next to the canal Saint-Martin, or you can go sit down next to the Seine and just have a sandwich with someone and talk with them. It's not a big deal. You don't feel like there's an interrogation or people feel awkward or like they're being interviewed or something's going to take place that's not meant to take place between us. I this is what I love about France. It's the city of love. It's the city of light and love. And no one's ever going to be able to change that. No matter how much fear you bring into this place, the fear is going to be transformed. And it's not just the people either. It's the place. It's the city itself. The city itself it's had so many atrocities. It's been built on the blood of the past, of all of the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stop this.
Oh, and it's just getting stronger. And it's just amazing. As an outside person who's never been there, hope to get there. No, I will. And looking in, and studying history and appreciating the backbone and the resilience and the love of life that France represents. And then even when this country, the U.S., was starting, they supported us on having our freedom. And we have the Statue of Liberty for that. And it's just very interesting to me how they really are, there is an element of that separation, and it's just like, that's not the way to go. That really is not the way to go, folks. We need to step back, take a breath, and really rethink the way this is going, because there is a lot of backlash reaction right now that is not being consciously, it's not conscious thinking. It's
yeah.
Poor reacting and fear.
That's because people aren't really processing it. They're making a politics dialogue out of it. And I don't know if so far in the history, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never actually seen politics solve anything. The way to look at something through a political lens, it never solves anything, because we never get out of the dualistic dialogue about the us versus them stories. And there is no us and them. There's just us. There's all of us. And the beliefs that people have don't matter at all. It doesn't matter what you believe in. You can believe in whatever you want. You believe in aliens, believe that people come back from the dead, believe that Jesus is going to save us, or Muhammad, or Abraham, or the dead are going to rise from Egypt, or it doesn't matter what you believe in, because at the end of the day, the person that you are is the person who went out into the world and interacted with your fellow brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers, and who you are is not what you believe. Who you are is what you do, because what you do, it shows who you are. And I think that if we're going to look at this from a political viewpoint, we're never going to get anywhere, because we're never going to really look within ourselves and see the real problem. And the interesting thing that I find with politics that I don't know if a lot of people understand is that politics has nothing to do with how we see the other person. Politics has to do with the revelation of who we actually are. When we make political statements about other groups of people, other ideologies, other religions or sciences or basic mentalities, we have to remember that there's a source coming from the people who make these statements. It's not a revelation of how the other people are. It's a revelation of how developed that person's consciousness is that's actually making those statements. So if we can understand that people, what they say is a revelation of their character, then we don't have to fight with each other anymore. We can just understand that, okay, well, that person's level of consciousness is at that point right now, and that's where they are. And this is, I think, where the real education can take place and where we can really connect with each other, because we can actually just understand where each other is at instead of try to force each other to believe how other people are, and then we just make a politics out of it and we get more and more confused. There's no clarity in politics, and I don't believe there ever will be.
You know, the more we get away from quote-unquote labels,
yeah,
the more there will be clarity and see the actual person and not almost like the cloud that might be hanging over their head. And because we're all human, we're all part of the oneness, we're all here to experience a life, and we're all making choices in every moment with every breath of what we want to experience on this planet.
Exactly.
So it's really a time for us to get clarity of exactly what we want to experience. And it's like we have these moments of contrast to let us know, yeah, we really don't want that. Let's try something a little bit on a more positive side. And it almost brings us into that unity. We appreciate that unity, and it's just really becoming a time that we need to focus more on that unity and seeing the beauty of the Aquarian age of the individual within the group, but allowing that individual to have its individuality to empower the group.
Because without the individual to understand who he or she is, the collective is a mess. Because if you go into a group of people and you don't know who you are and you're just spouting off unconscious processes that you've lived with your whole life, and we all join together and we all do that, that's chaos. And of course, the universe does operate off of chaos, but we also have the balance of that. We have the choice to also organize ourselves, to look within ourselves, see what's actually taking place, witness ourselves as if we're witnessing someone else's life. And I think the greatest healing takes place when you can take a step back from yourself and see yourself as someone else, And one of the most fundamental thing that helps me lately with understanding others is that everyone suffers, whether we like it or not. Everyone on this entire planet in some way, shape, or form suffers. If we understand that everyone suffers, then we have the opportunity to be able to have patience and to be able to cultivate compassion and to be able to understand people from a perspective of soul instead of just from a perspective of mind.
What are your thoughts about what exactly are people's individuals' obligations right now? Does anybody really have obligations?
I don't know if anybody has really an obligation, because obligation
daunting.
For me sounds kind of rigid. But I think
that just popped in my head about, you know, we all have choices, but so many people say, oh, I have to do this. But it's their choice
exactly.
to do it, not necessarily an obligation. To me, there are certain people that come into your life, and you guys have an agreement to play out an experience for learning purposes, but it doesn't necessarily say that there is an obligation for this person to correct any karma that happened in the past. You guys have an agreement to play.
Yeah. Well,
good, bad, or not so much fun, but it's a learning process.
I feel there's two things that can take place in this particular aspect of conversation, and it's that we have the opportunity to be responsible. The word responsible, it means to respond. And the other aspect of that is to remember. To remember is literally to reintegrate as a member of humanity. This is all that remembering is. It's remembering that we're all connected because we're all a member of the same organic unity. In Hinduism, they say that we are all the cells in the body of God. So if we're all the cells in the body of God, then we belong to one body, humanity.
I mean, even the name says it, humanity. And even though we, you know, we try to separate ourselves from that collective at times, and some people do, at least, you can't. It's just who you are. And the mind games that people try to dominate others and try to, you know, do the separation and the fear and stuff, it's only their own insecurity and their own not remembering what the ultimate game is. It's playing within the consciousness and really remembering, as you said, you're part of the same group.
Exactly.
It's just very interesting understanding through my own experiences with mind control and with the mind games, and really understanding and breaking through anybody really having control over me and making choices for me. It is really a great opportunity to see the powers that people allow other people to have with them and the ways they do it.
Mm.
And understanding it's only my, you know, me allowing it to happen is allowing it to happen.
Exactly. And that's a choice. To choose to do something or to choose to do nothing is the same choice, because you're choosing.
Yeah, it's still indecision is a decision.
Mm. So is denial. To deny.
And I think a lot of people love to be in denial.
And ignorance literally just means to ignore. But at the same time, we can't judge people and blame people for what they don't know. What people don't know, they don't know, and that's okay. We can accept that people don't know.
And all we can do is be compassionate and try to alert them of other options so they get the idea that there's more than one way of a different perspective, a different possibility out there. It's not that their life is wrong. There's just, that's the other thing I've learned recently, just kind of doing like a major life review to understand and remember, as you brought up, was the fact that there is so many perspectives and perceptions that we can have in any given moment. So there really can't be any right or wrong. There's just too many endless possibilities within any dimension
of
this thing we call reality.
And if you remember last time we spoke, I said that's why it's important to understand, because you have to stand under your understanding. It's your foundation. And if we can understand where people are in their own consciousness development, then we can understand many different points of views. But in order to do that, you have to understand the balance of the input-output. You know, the output telling people your viewpoint, how you feel, what you think, but also listening to other people's viewpoints and perceptions and feelings and self-expressions. This is the dynamics of the Aries and the Libra. The Aries represents the self. The Libra represents the other. We have to understand both polarities. And also, I've been thinking a lot and reflecting a lot on the mythology of Saturn and the mythology of Jupiter. And basically, the story about Saturn is that he ate his children because he was jealous of his children. He felt threatened by them because he didn't want them to be greater than him. And so he ate them. And I don't remember all of the details off the top of my head right now, but Jupiter ended up overthrowing Saturn because he became too rigid. And I invite people to explore the mythology of Saturn and Jupiter when he overthrew Saturn, because I feel right now this is a symbolic story about what we're witnessing. We're witnessing... we're kind of witnessing that because we're seeing this older generation that grew up in war and grew up in having to divide and conquer to survive. And I feel like there is kind of an element of older and newer generations kind of clashing together, because if you look at the symbolism of the attacks that happened in Paris, you see, most wars are fought by older generations, sending younger generation to war. And you see a lot of younger generation people here were the ones that were victims of this atrocity.
Yeah.
So I think that's
at one point,
it's an interesting.
I wanted to add to the Saturn-Jupiter, because Jupiter actually, the person that kind of overthrew Saturn actually was one of his sons. Who broke free and expanded and freed the other children from the possibility, because his wife, and I forget his wife's name, sorry, I want to say Hera, but I don't think that's right, hit some of her children within her. So Saturn went eat them, and one of them, they kind of were so afraid of their dad, they hid, and Jupiter just expanded his energy and says, I'm not going to take this anymore. I want to be free. And he overthrew his dad, fought for the death and that's why Jupiter is known for benefiting a lot of people and also expansion of energy, because he freed his brothers and sisters from the terror of his dad, Saturn.
Yeah. After Jupiter was raised by his mother, his destiny was to take over his own father, Saturn, as revenge for all he had done to his brothers and sisters in the past. When Jupiter grew up, he made Saturn vomit up all of the children he had swallowed. All the brothers and sisters joined forces and overthrew Saturn. Jupiter, Zeus, was nurtured by a goat named Amalthea. In gratitude for her milk and protection, Zeus placed one of her horns in the sky. We call it a cornucopia, the horn of plenty, abundance. And the one-horned Amalthea became the goat constellation Capricorn. The mother of Zeus, Jupiter, was Saturn's sister Rhea. And yes, when Zeus became a youth, he slipped a potion to Saturn, and Saturn vomited up all of his children that he swallowed at birth, so they would not grow up to replace him.
It's so interesting to see the mythology, and it really is something, especially since Saturn is so active now in Sagittarius, and there is some major tension between Saturn and Jupiter playing out once again, and it's just an interesting time. We have, believe it or not, only about 3 minutes left. It's a quick trip. but I want you to share some ideas of ways that people can really expand the point view of what's going on these days and raise up the vibration.
Tap into creativity. Paint a picture. Do a dance. Make a song. Do something, anything that's creative, anything that gets you out of your left brain logical, like an analysis and thinking. Because when you get into creativity, you forget who you are. You forget your whole identity completely. And I think it's just as important as it is to remember, it's also equally as important to forget yourself completely and get lost in something, so that you remember the wonderment of what it's like to be a child. Because the children are innocent. We're all born innocent. We're never born with any of these labels that are given to us by society. We're born innocent, and in creativity, in this experience, it shows you that. It shows you how innocent you really are and how you can forget all of these things.
That's
even if just for a moment.
Yeah, and creativity also, you know, as you said, getting lost in something, you're also finding yourself connecting to your higher self and the universe, and that expanding energy of truth, of who you truly are, part of this wonderment, as you said, wonderment of the oneness and the collective that's going to prevail no matter what. There is going to be an inner truth coming out very soon. So, Jason, we're running out of time very quickly, so I want to make sure to give you a quick opportunity to let people know how they can get in touch with you and see your wonderful work.
You can check out my website, Jason Potvin, JasonPotvin.com. And you can take a look at all the projects that I have under my projects section. Check out the different projects, the multifaceted perceptions of creativity. And you can check out all the paintings that I have as well. And I think it's important to look at this work too, because who knows, it might trigger something inside of you to create something from the inspiration that it gives you. and that it may trigger inside of you.
Okay, we're off the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was quick. I think it was very powerful, though.
Yes. I meditated a lot today. I put on one of these... I've been working with the binaural meditations again.
Right.
That because they have different frequencies of hertz. And so for the past month, actually, I've been doing these really deep gamma wave meditations, which has been really tapping me into deep recesses of collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to get back into the swing of channeling again like I used to before I
That's
got
awesome.
Really depressed. Yeah, and I feel so super connected.
Yeah, it's amazing how, I mean, that's one reason even writing this article about the vision I had when I was 13. It really is like a life review and really understanding the depth of the human experience and what a gift it truly is. It is reconnecting me with the universe and just appreciating this adventure and understanding we'll get through this. It's all going to happen exactly as it's supposed to. And just, it's been interesting talking with my mom because she's like, you know, she's an older generation. She's 83. She lived through World War II and Korea and Vietnam and being part of the military and all. It's just very interesting, her point of view, that she really is against what the government's doing. The separation. And it's just like, it's really just cool the way she's responding to it.
I think most of us are. I think this is the next time we do the show again, I think we should talk about... And I'm going to write something up for the next time because I find it helpful to read things too, not just speak from top of my mind. The Lost Gospels of Mary Magdalene and how much connected that is to Paris, actually. Because the Gnostics, they had the Lost Gospel. They had written the Gospels of Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene was considered... equally as important as Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
But because of the patriarchy and because of the masculine centered structure, hierarchical structure of religion, they left out her book, they left out her